Good evening. It is great to see everyone this evening. I would invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is an account that I know is familiar to us. We have studied this account since we were little kids in Bible class. Last couple of weeks I've been visiting with a buddy, and he has been dealing with some things and going through some things, and we got to talking about those things that we deal with in this life and those things that we face in this life. And one of those things that he's having to deal with is something that he said there's a lot of people that know what's going on. He said it's pretty obvious and clear, those things that I am facing. And he said there's those around me that, you know, they've come to me, they've talked to me. And he said, thankfully enough, he said, I love our brethren. I love brethren because they are there to help out and want the absolute best for people. And he said, those that are closest to me, you know, yourself included, you reach out, you try to help me through these things. And we started talking, and this account comes to mind. We're going to begin in verse 32 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. David is standing before Saul. He has listened to this man who has defied the armies of the living God. And beginning in verse 32, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth and he a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, struck it, delivered the lamb from its mouth. When it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. We, of course, as Paul Harvey always said, know the rest of the story. What was going to happen and take place. I want you to think about this for just a second. Goliath is a giant, right? He's going to stand about 10 feet tall. He's huge. He's an intimidating factor. Do people know what's going to happen? Do you know who he is? You know how big he is? You can't miss him. He's loud. He's huge. You know, so are the things that at times we face. The men, no one else is willing to go out. No one else, even with Goliath having defied the armies of the living God, no one else willing to face him. This is David's battle. This is who David is going to face. And he's going to do so with the greatest faith of anyone that is gathered around him. No one else has the type of faith to step out that he does. This is David's battle. And he tells Saul. Saul says, look, you're a youth. He is a man of war from his youth. Meaning, this is a guy who has far more experience in what he is doing than you do. You can't go out against him. David says, let me tell you about my life experiences. My life experiences go this way. I'm a shepherd. And a shepherd's job is to take care of the sheep, to take care of the flock. That's my job. That's my responsibility, regardless of anything else that happens. So if a lion comes, if a bear comes, I am going to face them head on. That's my job. That's my task. Nothing's going to stop me from doing what I'm supposed to do. In fact, when that lion or that bear would try to get away, I grabbed it by its beard, pulled it back to me, struck it, killed it. He's just like them. He's just like them. He is someone who desires to devour and to take life. And he doesn't have who I have. I have God. God has delivered me from a lion. He's delivered me from a bear. And he's going to deliver me the same way from this Philistine, because I know who my faith is in. I know who I trust. I find it interesting that he goes down in verse 40. 5 stones. You ever think about this? 5 stones. How many is it going to take? Saul has given him his armor, right? He tests it, tries it on, see if he can move in it. He says, I've not tested this. This isn't what I'm used to. This isn't what I go to battle with. There's a movie that came out when I was a teenager. I know it's been a little while. We watched it again not very long ago. It's a movie called The Ghost in the Darkness. It takes place in Africa, in Tsavo. It's a true story. 3 lions that were man-eaters. A man named John Paxson, who's an architect, he's a bridge builder, gets to Tsavo, and that first day he's there, there's a lion that attacks and mauls a guy. He said his donkey took the brunt of it. So that evening, he takes his rifle, grabs the donkey and stakes it to the ground, and climbs in a tree. And he waits, and the donkey's got a bell around his neck, and you hear him make a sudden movement, and that bell goes off. And he takes careful aim, and he fires the gun. 1 shot, he kills a lion. The other 2 go on a killing spree. And they are killing men left, right, and center. Another man comes by the name of Remington to help them be able to overcome these lions. They put together a group. They're going to run these lions. They're going to get ahead of them, and they're going to kill them. A doctor comes to Patterson and says, let's do a weapons exchange. You take my weapon, it's more powerful than what you have. So he exchanges weapons. And he goes into battle with these lions, and he goes around the direction that they are driving them. He goes around the front to be able to head them off. The lion comes up that path, and he takes careful aim, pulls the trigger, click. It does nothing. There's a misfire. Now his gun that he has already killed a lion with is back at camp. It's not available. He took an untested, unproven weapon into battle. David is not going to do that. Do you see in verse 40 that he takes his staff in his hand? It's a piece of equipment for his weaponry that he knows, he's tested, he's comfortable with it, he knows it's not going to let him down. Saul's armor, helmet, body armor, sword, everything. You look at verse 38 and 39, he can't move in those things. I haven't tested these. And he takes them off and he leaves them. Staff in his hand, shepherd's pouch, bends down and picks up 5 stones. Notice he has his sling in his hand. He knows exactly what he's going to do. Now, there's a guy that I watch from time to time on social media that he has one of these slings, and when his video comes up, I like to watch it. Because this guy is really good at what he does. He has practiced very well. This thing is a long whip to hold on to, a pouch to hold a decent-sized rock in, and you watch him as he slings that thing above his head, and he lets go. He can hit a side, pretty small target. He's really good at this, and you watch it as it explodes. That's the type of sling David is taking. You think about this weaponry, what he's used to, what he's tested. David's not going to take something untested into battle. How many things have you faced in your life? You see, he takes the knowledge of what he's already overcome and what God has already led him through to be able to go into battle. He's already tested it. He knows that it's true, but he knows most importantly who's with him. No way else is down here. He is going to walk into this valley. I had a buddy of mine that he went and did a mission trip, got to see a lot of these Bible lands, and he sends me a picture. He said, this is the valley that is believed that David fought Goliath in. And to see that for yourself, and I realize I wasn't there in person, he was, but to see that picture gives you goosebumps. Pretty incredible to see. Those things that you face are just as real. You know those valleys that you have stood in and gone to battle with. You know the one who has your back. While he faced Goliath head on, and he's going to cast his stone, it's going to sink into his forehead. Josephus says it would knock him out. David rushes forward, takes his Goliath's own sword, and cuts his head off. I often think about these five stones. Turn with me, if you would, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 21. Do you know there are battles that David's going to have to still fight? Giants that he's still going to have to face. Those that he's still going to have to go up against. Now, I will tell you, I've talked about this with a few guys. We don't have a scripture that says, this is why David picked up five stones. He used one of them. He has four left in that pouch. Beginning in verse 15 of 2 Samuel 21, when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines, and David grew faint. Then Ishbi-Benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zariah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, you shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. You mean something to us. We don't need you to go out here and lose your life. Notice that Abishai struck him and killed him. Verse 18, now it happened afterward that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sebekai, the Hushathite, killed Saph, who was one of the sons of the giant. Again, there was a war at Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jair Oregim, the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Yet again, there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he was also born to the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, killed him. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. You know, this time David didn't have to be by himself. He had others to help him out. I was in college, 8 hours from home. My phone rang. It was my dad. He said, I need to have a very uncomfortable conversation with you. Your sister had something happen to her by one of her coaches. I said, okay. So he talked me through this. And I walked out of my dorm room and I got in my truck. It's 8 hours home. I made it into Kansas. And on I-35, there's a very convenient stopping point. You don't have to exit off of I-35 to get to a gas station. There's a gas station in the middle of the highway. So I got off. I filled up my truck with gas. And I walked inside to get a snack. I was going to need to stay awake. I was already pretty angry and riled up. It wasn't going to take much, but I needed to have something else to focus my energy on. So I got some sunflower seeds that I would devour and a Coke that I could help wash that down with on my way. And I stood at the cash register, and I felt a hand on my shoulder and a familiar voice say, I'll pay for his. And I felt another hand on my other shoulder and a whisper in my ear, give me your keys. And I turned to see five guys that I went to school with. And I said, I'm not going home, boys. I'm going home. And they said, no, you're not. Because you have more to give to this life than take vengeance on somebody. Thankfully enough, somebody else had called them and said, you need to head him off. I went back to Oklahoma with them. Was able to help my sister in a much, much better way. My sister would go on to see a counselor. This counselor was really, really good. She told her, you need to get a backpack. And you need to find five heavy stones. You're going to put them in that. You're going to carry that weight around. You need to see what it feels like. Then you need to name each of those exactly what you are facing. You need to acknowledge what you face. Only then will you be allowed to take those out and set them aside. You know, she was forced to acknowledge, forced to face. Not only did that backpack become lighter, she became lighter because the burden became lighter. She realized who she could count on. She could count, number one, on God. She could count on her family. She could count on this counselor. And she realized she wasn't alone. That there were things and people in her life that could help her through. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. She wasn't by herself. You know, as a Christian, you're never alone. Not ever. There are things that you're going to face in your life that are going to be as big and as obvious as a 10-foot tall giant. They're going to be just as loud, boisterous, and defiant. Things that you're going to have to face. And there are times that you may have to face that by yourself or feel like you face it by yourself. You're never alone. You know, Paul writes to the church here at Corinth, and he begins by talking about all of these examples, people that we can read about, men like David in 1 Samuel 17, who's going to, boy, he is confident because of who he has in his corner, because of who has his back. You know, when we come to that same acknowledgement in our lives, we can face those things just as confidently. And then we can realize at other times that there are things that we can do that we have others to be able to help us through, that we don't have to do it by ourselves. If you look with me at verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now all these things happen to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, meaning that they are written for you and I to be able to be instructed by them, to take a lesson and learn from them, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with every temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I think about those temptations, and then I think about the things that I face, those things that come head on. Look with me at James chapter 1, and look at the attitude that you and I get to demonstrate and to display when those things take place and those things happen. You know, looking at that account there in 2 Samuel, with the four that would come. Now, we can talk about whether or not those would be Goliath's brothers. There are some who believe that maybe, perhaps, even those might be the sons of Goliath. I have no idea. If God saw fit to tell us, he'd have said, that brother there is not actually in the Hebrew. It's italicized for a reason. It's been added there. That part aside, David didn't face them alone. But if you notice there in verse 22 of 2 Samuel chapter 21, David did it with the help of his servants, those that were there with him. He faced them. He was able to overtake them. James 1, beginning in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing." Do you understand why we face those things? Because in God I'm perfect. Because those are things I can overcome. We talk about it often in places like 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where in those first 7 verses, Paul describes this thorn in the flesh that he has. And he prayed that 3 times that it would be taken away. And he was told no. And he was given the reason. The Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you. When you're weak, I'm strong, because I'm the one that's seen." If you tell her this all tonight, my sister is probably one of the strongest people I know. Today, she has her own counseling degree because of somebody who took the time to help her get through things. She wants to be able to help others. One of the things that we've talked about and gone over since she got her degree, she said, "I've sat in that room and I've cried with those people. They've left and I've continued to cry." She said, "Because I know the things that they've gone through. I know the things that they've been through. I know the hardships that they face. But I have an outlet, a place that they can get that off their chest. They don't have to face it alone. They don't have to go through it alone. I can hurt with them, I can hurt for them. But the main thing I can do is help them to overcome." There are a lot of times in this life we face struggles. We face Goliaths, and we face giants. You're never alone. You first have God, but you have every single one of us. You are a light. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." Salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing, but to cast out, trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. You know that? Cannot has an impossibility. It's not possible for it to be hidden. You have a light. You are the light of the world. Jordan at BBS last week, we sang "This Little Light of Mine" every night. I love that song. I love to hear the kids sing it. Don't misunderstand me. But the meaning of that song: don't let Satan it out. That should be a mantra we have every day. That I won't let Satan blow out my light. My light's going to shine. But I don't have to face it alone. I have everyone here to help me get through. You know, there are others who face things very similar to the things that all of us go through. There is somebody who has faced those same things, who's gone through those same things. We talk about this often. I don't know that we really follow through on it. And I will talk about me because it's easier, I get in less trouble. I don't always follow through on it. I don't always communicate. I'm not the only one. And that's not an excuse, don't get me wrong. We all need to learn to do those things, to count on others. You're going to face a Goliath. You know the incredible part? Is you're going to get to watch him fall. Because that's what God has the ability to do. to get us through every single thing that we're going to face. You know that as of right now, this very moment, you have overcome every difficult day you've ever had. You have overcome every difficulty, every obstacle, everything that's been thrown your way, you've overcome it. You understand that? You've overcome. You've been able to get through. And you know, we come through stronger every single time, and we come through stronger together. We don't face those things alone. I think about those conversations that I have at times with my sister. And I give her a hard time, and I feel like as her oldest brother, I have the right to do so. We have fought like cats and dogs at times against each other and for each other. We do the same thing with our brethren in the church. Tonight, I want you to think about you for just a minute. I want you just to be selfish for a second. I want you to think about those things that you face. I want you to think about not only the difficulties, but I want you to think about this. What are some amazing things that are going on in your life right now? What are some things that you can be excited about and talk about? You know, when David killed Goliath, the army, they got loud. Suddenly they were supercharged, and nothing was going to stop them. They rushed down the hill. The Philistines on the other side, they watched their champion fall, and they were instantly deflated. Had no idea what they were going to do as they turned to run, and they were overcome, and they were annihilated. You can be one of those two. You can allow something to defeat you, take you down, snuff out your light. Or you can face it head on, and you can do so, number one, with God, knowing who has your back and who's in your corner. And you can do the same thing with your brethren. We don't want your light to be snuffed out. You're important. You're valuable. You mean something. Tonight, maybe you need to turn your light off. Maybe you need to become a child of God, to submit to His will and His authority. Be buried with Him in baptism, where His blood washes away your sin and you rise to walk in newness of life, faithful unto death. Or tonight, maybe as a Christian, that light's flickering, it's wavering. You need help to be able to get that light to burn bright. Tonight, we're here to help you in any way that we can. I love David and Goliath. I love that account. I love that story. I love everything about it. But there's so many things and applications that we can take away from it to apply to our lives to make us better and stronger in the Lord, in His body, His army, to get up every day and go to battle. If you need some help going into that battle, if there's anything we can help you with tonight, we'd ask you to come now as together we stand and sing the song. It's been selected.